The following is brought to you in part by MFC Studios. The views of the show's host and guests do not necessarily reflect those of the management, owners, or staff of this radio station. And now, it came from the radio.
Yappa Toy, and welcome once again to It Came From The Radio, the official show of the Big Apple Con. This is your host, Mark Torres, speaking. With me in the studio, we have Mr. Hassan Godwin.
I'm not here.
And also in the studio, we have our special guest who we're going to be talking to with and about, which is awesome because she's right here. We have Long Island Trading Card Game Show's very own, Rebecca C. Prasad.
Hello, everyone.
So, as I mentioned, we're going to have be talking to, with, and about Rebecca in just a few minutes, but also L-Man Jenny Felley is going to be interviewing author Terrence L. Rottering, and at the Long Island Convention of Horror, in two separate interviews, senior correspondent Charlie Saladino interviews actresses Shonda Rawlings and Kate Kiddo. But before we do any of that, we have to take it away with the non-news.
It's more than time!
So that's what happens when that plays.
The non-news is brought to you in part by the fine folks of sci-fi.radio. That is sci-fi
for your Wi-Fi.
As well as the fine folks of the Big Apple Con, of which we are the official radio show of, celebrating over 26, 7, 8, 9 years of pop culture-ness and comic book stuff. So for more information, go to www.bigapplecc.com. The next convention is scheduled all the way in November of this year on the 21st, and tickets are not on sale right now.
You do nothing.
You can go to the website.
Yes. Just to see how it is.
Yeah. Is it time to get a ticket yet? Not yet.
Case the joint. For when it's time.
And also want to give our shout outs to our Patreons, of which there are Danny Grillo, award-winning director Jared Burrell, Newsday famous RZA Media, Shadow Rabbit Art, Yasmin Ray, The Hurricane, and Millie Portes. If you want to have your own little shout out, go to our website, www.itcameforreal.com. There's a little button on there that takes you right to our Patreon page. Also on the It Came From The Radio website is my book, Designated, a book about two warring alien races fighting over a newly discovered power source. The war finds its way to planet Earth, and as a result, some humans gain abilities. Issue 1 is on sale right now, and as long as everything goes according to plan, issue 2 will be out next month. And, let's see. Oh, yeah, also, I want to mention that on... Where is it? Do I have my list? I do not have my list.
Uh-oh.
I have so many notes here.
Technical problems.
I have so many notes here.
I can't believe you're reading that. I used to think that you were just reciting that off the top of your...
I do have...
I see you reading.
There's certain things I have here on my notes.
Okay. Like, all right, fine.
See, for example...
Additional material you're talking about. All right.
So, also on the... on Wednesday, April 8th, at the East Meadow Public Library, we're going to have a 103rd live show. We're going to have a comic book creator, Kristen Gudsnick, will be our guest, and we'll be giving away, she'll be giving away a book, and I believe we're giving away tickets to the Cradle Con.
I'm not giving away anything I own. I'm not giving nothing away. Nobody talked to me. Nobody had any conversations with me, but never mind.
Keep going. For more information, go to www.eastmeadow.info. I believe that is everything for our house cleaning. So with that, we're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back with more It Came From The Radio.
Hi, you've heard my voice open and close the show. Now we want to hear your voice. If you have a business or product, you can record a commercial here. We offer 30 and 60 second spots. For more information, contact Mark at mfc_studios@hotmail.com.
My neural net processor is linked to sci-fi.radio, the sci-fi for my Wi-Fi. The more I listen, the more I learn.
Hey, this is Billy West from Show Business. You're listening to It Came From The Radio. Get out. Get out.
Step into the fantastic world of cool kids comics and toys at 2055 Hempstead Turnpike, East Meadow, New York. Discover Comic-Con exclusives, the latest Funko Pops, and a treasure trove of new and vintage toys and comics. Whether you're a collector or a first-time visitor, we got something to spark your imagination over here. Visit Cool Kids Comics and Toys today. Let your adventure begin, huh?
Hi, this is Sherilyn Fenn, and you're listening to It Came From The Radio.
BKG Productions LLC, your ultimate audio transformation partner. Got audio that needs a magic touch? I am here to elevate your content. Specializing in professional audio editing, I can clean up background noise, plosives, and pesky S sounds. From podcasts to songs, I've got you covered. Whether it's an interview, music track, setting volumes to precise specs, email bkgvobiz@gmail.com or go to fiverr.com, search for BK Graves 1, and trust me to make your sound sparkle.
Hey kids, this is CJ Ramon of the world famous Ramones, and you're listening to It Came From The Radio.
Comic Books for Kids is the largest charity in the U.S. for comic books, toys, and pop culture items to children in hospitals and cancer centers. Donations of toys, books, action figures, Funko Pops, or anything pop culture related can be made to this organization. Find them at cb4k.org.
Hey, this is Tiffany Shepis, Dr. Oak from Star Trek Picard, and you are listening to It Came From The Radio.
Cosplayers, exhibitors, and celebrities, oh my! Stand by, Connecticut. Dragon's Realm Comic Con is coming March 21st, 22nd at the Danbury Sports Dome, located at 25 Shelter Rock Lane. It will be Danbury's only premier comic convention. This event is your one-stop shop for everything pop culture, featuring celebrity meet and greets, exhibitors selling the coolest products, various discussion panels, a gaming area, and of course, cosplay contests. Tickets will be sold at the door or get them online via TicketSpice.com. Link for tickets are on our Facebook and Instagram pages. Visit drcomiccon.com for more.
This is Michael Bell, the voice of Duke from G.I. Joe, and I am here at CradleCom, and I am with It Came From The Radio.
Now, back to our show.
And welcome back to It Came From The Radio, the official show of the Big Apple Con. This is your host, Mark Torres, speaking in the studio with Mr. Hassan Godwin.
Hey.
It's a big deal that you're in the studio. It's been forever since you've been
here. But I wasn't
here.
Ready. I wasn't, you know.
Well,
I wasn't
Brian the engineer said stand by.
I can't hear him.
Oh, okay.
He's in another room.
And we're also here with the Long Island Trading Card Game Show's very own Rebecca Sipasad.
Hey, guys.
So, Rebecca, one thing I always like to ask all people who run their own conventions, why? Because it's crazy to do it. And we see people going crazy, they're pulling their hair out. It's an insane thing to make a show. So why would you decide to make your own show?
So I actually wanted to do it so I could enjoy it. Like, you know, that doesn't happen, though, because I run it. But I didn't realize that in the beginning.
It's selfishness.
Because, yeah, it is. In 2023, I started it, and you know, my friends and I were going out to New Jersey all the time for Pokemon card events, and there was nothing like that here. So I was like, all right, well, I kind of want to go to one closer, so I'll just start it if nobody else is going to. So that's why.
So as I also like to ask other convention organizers, why don't you just name it RebeccaCon? Like, why the Long Island Trading Card Game Show? That's a long name.
Yes. Well, LITCG show for short. But... So it is mostly Pokemon, but we do have other things like Yu-Gi-Oh!, Dragon Ball, One Piece. So I just wanted to kind of encapsulate like everything that was going to be there. So that's why. No RebeccaCon.
I think I would go to RebeccaCon. Tom, would you go to RebeccaCon?
I would go to RebeccaCon.
Only Rebeccas are allowed.
Yes.
At the RebeccaCon.
In which case I wouldn't be able to get in to RebeccaCon, but I would still try to go.
You got a question for Rebecca?
Yes. What do you want it to be, ultimately?
So, that's funny you asked that because a lot of people have asked that to me throughout the years. And originally, I wanted it to be just, you know, a show that I could enjoy. I started at the Holiday Inn in Plainview, which is pretty small. It's like 60 tables. And I definitely did not think big picture. And it's actually funny because my mom came to the first one and she said to me, oh, like, as a joke, pretty soon you'll be renting out the Nassau Coliseum. And I laughed, not even thinking that that was a possibility, and here I am renting at the Nassau Coliseum for the second time.
Because moms know.
Moms do know. Moms know everything.
Yeah.
It's interesting you mention that because Hassan and I, we told you, we've been doing this show for quite a long time, and we've known a lot of convention organizers and a lot of conventions, and I had heard of you. I was like, oh, there's this girl who runs a little tiny trading card show in Long Island. Like, oh, okay. And then she kept on doing that. I kept on hearing great things about it. It's a great little show. It's a great little show. It's a great little show. And all of a sudden, you just exploded.
Mm-hmm. It's a great big show.
And that was a great big show. And then you went to Nassau Coliseum, and I was like, holy crap, within a small amount of time, you had this giant jump.
Yeah.
What happened that caused that giant jump?
So, I mean, I think that just Pokemon in general, it's so popular. People are very interested in it. I think that has a lot to do with it. You know, I do think that I put a lot of work into it as well, especially because I'm a convention goer myself. I kind of know, like, what attendees want and what I would want as an attendee. So I think that that helps a lot, like, my insight as a convention goer.
She actually managed to have us rock out with the guy who sings the Pokemon theme song, which I thought was really cool. Was that one of your things? Like, did you have, like, a list? If I'm going to run a convention, I'm going to have this, I'm going to have this, and then you start checking off stuff?
So, it like, in the first place, like, it wasn't supposed to be, like, a convention. It was supposed to be just, like, a small trade show. So, I didn't at the time, but then once I saw, you know, the need for it and the want for it, I do have a list of, like, you know, we have to have good voice actors and, you know, people there that people want to meet and performances and panels and things like that. Yeah.
That's on.
Okay, so, like, I understand that there's a, it's a specialty, and it's, I don't know much about the gaming industry and Pokemon, and I was too old for that to happen. So what do you want for most of that stuff? Obviously, it's a big deal. It's going to be a big industry. It's rivaling, you know, it's rivaling manga, and it's rivaling the actual video game industry for importance and relevance in the pop culture space. So how big do you want it to be? What do you want it to become ultimately?
Yeah, so, sorry, back to your original question that I didn't fully answer, because that sidetracked, but...
That's his fault.
It is, it's Mark's fault.
It's always my fault.
Again, beginning, didn't think big picture at all, so LITCG show, the name was very, I guess, gridlocked, like, I'm gridlocked to Long Island with that name, so I did expand the name, and now it's Northeast TCG show and LITCG show. I have both. Because I've been going up to Westchester. So I do want to go into other areas. Westchester's one of the ones that we're doing now. We're actually doing, rather than just the marketplace that we've been doing, we're going to start doing big ones like at the Coliseum at the Westchester County Convention Center. It's not quite as big. It's only going to hold about 200 tables.
At all.
Well, Coliseum, we do 400.
Yeah,
but
exactly.
Yeah. So it's
tiny. It's tiny.
So I do want to expand and go to other areas. Yeah.
So, speaking of expanding, this past year you did a non-trading card game show convention called Extravacon. What caused that also expansion? What happened to make you to go even further and go into the comic book world?
So, again, like, as a convention goer, I like having things like close to home and things like that. And because I was doing the TCG show, so like the Pokemon convention, I was like, you know what, like, let's do a pop culture convention as well, because then you can go so much further and, like, you know, get so many more, you know, actors, voice actors for things outside of Pokemon and anime.
So, now you're deciding to just decide to take over everything.
I guess. I guess so.
And part of it is that I've met you before, and I've been to the smaller shows, and part of it is that I don't know what the term I can say without... You're very genuine.
Thank you.
I find that it's not like you're like, oh, there's money involved. Oh, I can make money at this. You're like, oh, I like this. I want to bring it to people. And then it grew naturally. I think that's a very interesting thing that happened. And do you find that that will take you all the way, or is there a limit to how far you can go with that type of attitude?
So I'm glad you brought that up, because I do also think that that's a part of why my events have been successful, is because I'm not in it for the money. Like, I'm a teacher. I have a full-time job. These things don't, like, pay the bills for me. You know, I started it as a hobby. I did not start it as a side hustle. I didn't have money involved, like, or money in my mind at all. Like, I literally was like, okay, like, I hope that I at least... break even or like lose a little tiny bit of money, but I wanted to do it because I wanted to do it. I had literally zero interest in making money from them.
And that's why, that's most likely why it blew up, right? Because you weren't looking for like money making schemes or ways to like break even on the first one, so you compromise your vision in order to make sure that certain things happen or so you can walk away with a certain percentage. And it came, the honesty probably projected through the experience, and then that's why I was able to get bigger and bigger. I hesitate to ask the next question because it's, you know, it's kind of the opposite of what I just said. But where do you want it to go? Do you want it to feed you so that you wouldn't have to do what you do for a living, or do you want to continue going on as you are and just let it go where it is? Which is probably why you don't call it Rebecca Khan, because you can't outsource Rebecca Khan if you're Rebecca.
Find another Rebecca.
it's always not that easy. So
think
where
of the
would
resume.
You like to go? Yes, if your name is Rebecca and you want to run a convention, please.
Come talk to me. Yeah, yeah. That's amazing. My convention would be the MarCon.
So to answer your question, I do want it to grow, but mm-hmm. I do not... I don't plan on quitting my teaching job. I love teaching. Cool. Another thing that you should go into for the love of it, not for money. I think everybody knows that.
Yes.
So I don't plan on not teaching.
Yay!
Like anytime soon. but I do want it to grow. I do want to keep growing it. But the reason why I want to keep growing is because I know that it's a good convention, and I know that people enjoy it, and I do want to bring that to other areas, like, you know, in the Northeast.
So, since you are a teacher, and running a convention, at times, can be like handling a lot of kids, do you find that is like, it gave you the advantage in running a convention, because you're used to dealing with a lot of little guys running around doing things?
So I actually teach high school. I'm a chemistry teacher. My kids are very easy to deal with. I'm blessed. I teach honors in AP chemistry.
Oh, okay, honors. Yes. AP. Okay, that's different.
Yeah, I have like the best kids.
I'm suddenly intimidated.
I'm not running around chasing kids all day. However, I do think that the organizational skills and the communication skills that comes with being a teacher did help me with running conventions.
So what was the biggest surprise you got when you were like, all right, I'm going to make my own first convention? What was the biggest surprise? Like, I didn't expect this to happen. Beyond exploding. What was the thing?
I mean, beyond exploding, because that was a surprise. If you ask my friends, like, the first time I had my show, I was, like, so nervous because, like, I obviously wanted attendees to come so the vendors were happy. You know what I mean? And obviously ticket sales don't start booming until, like, you know, a week, 2 weeks before the event. So I was like so nervous, and I was like thinking about canceling it and just giving like the few people their tickets back or their money back. I'm sorry.
Wow.
But what's surprising other than the explosion of it?
Well, just making convention in general, what's the biggest thing? Wow, I can't believe this comes into making a convention.
I would say that maybe, so I think that this is, like, a weird thing to say, but this is how I feel. I feel like the conventions, like, there are so many people in, like, the space I can help that I didn't know would be of help. Like, there's so many things that are involved with it that it's just like, oh, wow, this person with this expertise can be of great help, or this person with this expertise can be of great help. And it just goes to show you, like, how many different skills can be involved.
Nice.
And so finding out, like, how many people, how you can actually use the people around you to be of assistance in order to make the thing actually go forward and work.
Exactly, yeah. Mm-hmm.
No, that's pretty cool. I wish I could count on people.
It's tough, but yeah. I have good people behind me.
That was legitness. Yeah.
So you actually played a Pokemon game. You're a Pokemon player?
No. So the games, the Pokemon games I play and that I love are like Pokemon Stadium, Pokemon Snap. Those are those are my two favorite games of all time.
Okay.
Like, and then obviously Pokopia came out recently. I love that. But to be honest, like the video games that came out in the 90s, I have them. I still, like, I had them when I was a kid. I still have the same exact ones when I was a kid. I love Game Boy, but I just don't like that type of game where you walk around and just, like, do things.
Okay.
It's just not my thing. So I did play it, but I got bored with it very quickly. But I'm a big collector.
Really? Collector?
Yes. So since I was a kid, been collecting.
So you have that, what was it, $16 million card we said that was
the
sold?
The $16.5 million Pikachu Illustrator.
Yeah, do you have that?
She doesn't know anything about it.
Unfortunately, I do not have that. But I do have a lot
she's here with us right now, which is why we know she does not have it.
Yeah.
So when you're going to the convention, you like... You want to get, like, you have vendors. Like, hey, can I get a special deal because I'm the event organizer on a card?
Mm-hmm. I do not do that.
Why not?
I don't like
she's not you, Mark.
Using I don't like
the
using
Mark
that
Con
as
is going to be awesome.
Yes. There's going to be a lot of nepotism and a lot of bargaining.
So what is the worst thing you can say about running your own convention?
Not calling it the Mark Con.
Yeah, not naming it Rebecca Con.
Well, I mean, your company is Supersad Entertainment.
Yes.
So.
I think the worst thing is, like, not being able to please everyone. Like, as we were talking before we aired, you know, a lot of people want to get in as vendors, and obviously I have a limited amount of space, so I cannot approve everybody. And I know people get disappointed and stuff like that, so, you know, that does kind of stink.
Just stick them on a table outside.
In the parking lot.
Parking con.
While you're at it, help some of these people park. You know, like, you know, make yourself useful.
Yeah. But I think that's probably the biggest part, because, like, I do like everybody to be happy, but
not
it's
being
impossible
to please everyone. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm.
How do you find time being a teacher and running your own convention?
Well, so my best friend, who's also named is Mark, he helps me with a lot of stuff. But, you know, I guess I have good time management skills. I'm also getting my doctorate. Been doing that since
my
I
goodness
started the convention. And, yeah, so I'm busy.
Yeah, because she was supposed to be on many times before. And she's like, I'm busy writing a thesis. I'm busy doing this. I'm like, oh, how does she find time to do anything? I don't even know. I barely have enough time to just get up and come here.
Which is why you don't have a Mark Con.
Yes, that's why. You got another question for Rebecca?
Oh, no. I'm absolutely... astonished about all of this and about your organizational skills and being able to put all that together. That's fantastic. My other question would be another, like, an organizational question, and you already answered that. So I just think it's amazing. I wish you the best of luck. I hope it gets as big as you want it to, but not so big that it gets away from you. And I think it's a good service, because we don't have enough, you know, just to keep us, like, merrily occupied and out of trouble and doing something that brings people together. So thank you.
Thank you.
So you have multiple conventions. You have the small ones and the big ones throughout the year. You have your dates well in advance, which is awesome. I love that. Just throw out some dates. What's the next show that's coming up? Where can people buy tickets? How much they are? All that fun stuff.
So the next Marketplace event is March 29th at the Hilton on Broad Hollow Road in Melville. You can get tickets at litcgshow.com. And the next big event is at the Nassau Coliseum on May 2nd and 3rd. And also you can get tickets at litcgshow.com.
How much are tickets?
Tickets for the Marketplace are $15 for early bird and $10 for general admission. So early bird gets you an hour early at 10 a.m. General admission starts at 11 a.m. And for the Coliseum, there are actually a wide range of tickets and ticket prices. You have the VIP weekend pass that gets you the fast lane access for the celebrity meet and greets, because sometimes those lines can get incredibly long. You get an hour early both days. Includes entry in both days. It comes with, like, a swag bag, things like that. Then you have, like, a regular weekend pass. Then there's the Saturday pass, the Saturday early access pass, Sunday pass, Sunday early access pass, and there are kids' tickets, of course.
Do you have the late person ticket that way it comes in?
The slacker pass.
Yeah, like a last hour, yeah. You pay, like, $10 to come in.
The sleep-in pass. Yeah.
So how do you decide on all these events, and you've had so many, how do you decide which vendors you get to pick? Because now, as of right now, you have a surplus of people that want to be part of this show. How do you pick and choose?
So we have an application process. So, you know, they are supposed to put a detailed reason or detailed explanations of, like, what are you selling, like price ranges and things like that. So we like to have a wide variety of things. I mean, obviously it's Pokemon, so, you know, I'm not talking about that. But
so no sports guys. Sports guy can't come in?
No, that's correct.
You're like, get out of here?
Yeah, I mean, we just like, you know, would
that's what I would do. Get out of here. Oh, AI art. What are your thoughts on that?
We don't like AI art.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, it's not for me.
The right
I don't even buy prints. Like, if I buy artwork, it has to be original. No prints. Like,
okay.
So, yeah, no AI artwork.
That is the correct answer.
So, we're almost out of time. Website, where can people...
www.litcgshow.com. That's where you can apply for vendor tables and buy tickets and just find out more about us.
All right, Hassan, final thought?
My final thought? I hope this is not my final thought.
Rebecca, do you have any final thoughts you want to share?
Same with Hassan. I hope it's not my final thought.
Thank you, Rebecca, for coming down. I really appreciate finally getting you in the studio. Welcome you to come back anytime you want. So that is it for this segment of the show. So anybody listen to us on the air, we'll see you next time. For everybody else, stay tuned for more. It came from the radio.
Hey, this is Billy West from Show Business. You're listening to It Came From The Radio. Get out. Get out.
Looking to upgrade your outdoor space? Rare Products NY has you covered. Our universal pergolas are modern, durable aluminum structures designed to withstand the elements while adding style and value. Enjoy all-weather protection with adjustable louvers and glass options. Stay cozy in the winter with modernized screens and enclosures. Create a luxury ambiance with built-in LED lighting. And give your home or business a modern look that keeps guests coming back. For your on-site evaluation, call 516-225-8271. Email rareproductsny@gmail.com or visit rareproductsny.com. Rare Products NY. We've got you covered.
Hi, I'm Olivia Younkers from Star Trek Picard, and you're listening to It Came From The Radio.
Now, back to our show.
This is Charlie Saladino from It Came From The Radio, and here live at Lich, Long Island Convention of Horror. And I'm here with the very talented and beautiful actress, Shonda Rollins. Shonda, how are you today?
Oh, I'm doing great.
Tell everybody the movies you were in and what's coming up in your life.
Oh my goodness. All right. So I do indie horror films. I've been in Bloody Summer Camp. I've been in Crust with Sean Whalen, who was in People Under the Stairs. Killer Camp Out Part 2, Return of the Corn Zombies. I was in Go Away. I have upcoming Black Sheep, which I am the title character of. That one is going to be very good, and I look forward to showing the whole world that one.
That's very nice. And how many times did you get brutally killed?
I'm sorry?
How many times did you get brutally killed?
a lot.
How many times didn't you get brutally killed?
I can literally count that on one hand. I don't want to give away how many times because, you know, I don't want people to count all the films and be like, oh, she got killed in this many. Oh, trust me, it's a lot. But I die well.
I'm sure you do. But you're from Virginia now, right?
Yes, I am.
And what do you think of this? What do you think of this convention thing?
Oh, I absolutely love it. It's a great time. Everybody is so wonderful. The energy's high. Everybody is interested in what we have going on here, so I feel like it's just kinship.
Yeah, it is. There's a lot of great people here. Any chance to see the city?
Not yet. I would love to, though.
Because us islanders, we have different... I'm from Brooklyn and Queens, so us islanders have different... Like, this city is Brooklyn, Queens, Bronx, Manhattan, and Staten Island. The city, to me, living in the boroughs, would be Manhattan.
I got you.
So you need to get out and see that.
Yes. Man, maybe I can sneak away for a little bit. It's like, this is my first time being here, and seeing New York City for the first time yesterday, it was just, all of my dreams were coming true. It was amazing.
It's definitely an amazing city. If you get the chance, you should see it. Should bring protection with you, but you should see it.
Always carry that with me now.
So, if anybody wants to get in touch with you, social media, anything, get it out there now.
All right, you can follow me on Facebook at Shonda Rawlings. My name is Chanda in Rawlings, like the basketball. On Instagram, I am Spotter Sunshine. And I think those are my only two handles as of right now. But yeah, please go on there, follow me. I would love to be friends with you and, you know, talk up horror and everything else in between.
Shonda, thank you so much for taking time and talking to us. You're multi-talented. People, get out there and watch these movies.
Thank you guys so much.
This is Charlie Saladino live from Litch, Long Island Convention of Horror. Back to you, Mark, in the studio.
This is Michael Bell, the voice of Duke from G.I. Joe, and I am here at CradleCom, and I am with It Came From the Radio.
Now, back to our show.
This is Charlie Saladino from It Came From the Radio, live at the Long Island Convention of Horrors. I'm here and very happy to be here with one of my favorite people at the convention, actress Kate Kiddo. Kate, how are you?
Hi, great to be here. It's been a wonderful event, so we're all in good spirits. And
Kate, you're an amazing actress. Tell people what movies they have seen you in, or if not, will see you in.
Thank you. Well, a few movies that are out right now. One of the biggest ones that we're screening actually at this convention currently is Black Eyed Susan. It's a Vinegar Syndrome production, shot on film. A very heavy subject matter, but I think it's worth checking out. It's really thought-provoking, so that's the one. And the one that's coming out soon that you should look out for is called The Events Surrounding a Peeping Tom, which is also a more of a psychological horror, is going to be a thinker. So, highly recommend.
Now, what do you prefer? What's your preference with genres, with movies?
Horror. Definitely, horror was the big love for me ever since I was 6 years old. So, funny enough, it started with The Bride of Chucky. So, it was a good first time watch for a 6 year old. So, that's what started the love for horror for me.
I'm amazed you said that. That's one of my favorite Chucky movies.
Really?
Meg Tilly. She's off the charts.
There you go. Yeah. I think that's the one. I don't think I ever paid much attention to any other Chucky movies because, you know, The Bride of Chucky was the one loved. So.
Did you ever have a bad experience in a movie, making a movie?
Oh yeah, absolutely. I think everybody can say that they had a bad experience, but it's not really any of the trivial stuff. It usually comes down to clashing views on the project. So, yeah, those are the more serious.
So, in the future, what's going on for Kate?
Well, all of these movies coming out, we're actually, you know, you stick with the team that you tend to work with. So, we do have stories and scripts in the works right now. So we're really looking forward to finishing those and bringing those to the public, as well as some voiceover work. I've actually started doing narrating some old vintage ghost stories for sleep. So
beautiful. Now, if people want to see you or want to see your movies, where do they get in touch with you? Social media? What's going on?
Usually, my filmography is just on IMDb. That's the easiest way to find out what I've been in. But my social media is kate.kiddo, K-I-D-D-O, on Instagram. And that's probably the best way to keep up with me.
Beautiful. Everybody, definitely keep up with Kate. And Kate, thank you so much for taking time out.
Thank you. Thank you. It's lovely to be here and chatting with you today.
She's one of my favorite people. This is Charlie Saladino live at the Long Island Convention of Horror. Back to you, Mark, in the studio.
Hi, I'm Alina Watko. I play Hyrel on Star Trek Discovery, and you're listening to It Came From the Radio. Now, back to our show.
You are listening to It Came From the Radio. This is Jennifer Lee Spellman. I'm here with Terry Rotering. He wrote a lot of books. So I'm just going to give you the synopsis, and then we're going to get into it. Now, he wrote The Chronicles. It's a trilogy of trilogies that encompasses angels and demons, black holes, heroic deeds. It's a fantasy, sci-fi, and spiritual warfare epic saga. Here's a synopsis. I didn't write this, so reading. Forget what you know about the boundaries between genres. Terrence L. Rotering's Chronicles series is a monumental saga so vast it required a trilogy of trilogies to contain it. This is an epic that plunges you into the brutal, multi-generational, dynastic, and weaves a prophecy-driven narrative. Then, just as you're grounded in its lore, the saga ignites. It explodes into a high-concept, futuristic vision challenging the civilization-building of Isaac Asimov with sentient AI, multi-world grandeur of Dune, and connecting its timelines with the dark, reality-bending ambition of Stephen King's The Dark Tower. So, Terry, even though I did a summary, simply put, like, what are these books all about?
Yeah, so you touched on it very well. It's a trilogy of trilogies, but it's also, I have a new one coming out. It's going to actually be the fourth set of trilogies, if you will, a fourth book, a fourth volume. And each one, think of them as an egg within an egg. So you've got kind of a family kind of setting in the beginning, more fantasy. And then you have a prelude to it or a prequel to it, where you have where did this all come from? Still kind of fantasy, mm-hmm. but then starting to delve into some sci-fi. And then the third one comes out and just explodes in sci-fi and goes in from one dimension, which was the first six books, into seven dimensions. So it's a lot bigger world. And that's where you really get into the black holes and time dilation and tesseracts and all kinds of crazy things. It all ties together pretty well, though, because you got kind of ancient times and then future times. And then this last one is kind of the key to the whole thing. It just wraps it all together. What's it all about? It's faith, family, fun. A lot of adventure and a lot of hope. So that's the big thing that differs with this series versus maybe some of the other sci-fi that's out there or fantasy, is it's very positive and hopeful, and you have a purpose and there's help and there's answers to the questions. So
now you mentioned other dimensions, and you know, I've taken various psychic classes and spiritual classes, and I'm friends with different people. One person from an acting class came to where I used to live, an apartment, and he said that he could astral travel right now, and he started like preparing to astral travel in my living room. So do you believe that there's different dimensions in the world, or have you had any experience in other dimensions?
I personally haven't had that experience because you'd ask me, well, take me with you, and that would be fun. But yeah, no, I haven't specifically, but I think the more we find out about, you know, this world, and I believe we're finding out about creation stuff all the time, and I think we have a ton more to find out about, but science is revealing things that we never thought we knew before, and you know, every generation has kind of thought, hey, you know, now that we know the world is round, we know everything, and in this day of the internet and AI and everything, I think we're starting to think, oh, we know everything, but I think we're finding out we're just scratching the surface. So yeah, I do believe there's a lot more to find out. To answer your question, I do believe in that, but I haven't had that personal experience myself.
So you have an astral travel to other dimensions or
something. Not that I remember. Maybe I was doing it while I was sleeping or something. Huh?
Maybe. All right. So what inspired these books?
Okay. Well, that's we need a lot more time for that but I'll touch on it very quickly. So at first it was kind of following my life journey. So the first set of books was just to show my boys, hey, you can write books, you can publish books. That's not something beyond your reach. And then after that, the inspiration was just to finish the story, a trilogy. That actually took, you know, I wrote the first couple in 2005, 2010. And then I had a little bout with cancer and I said, God, just give me more time to finish this trilogy. And then it took me 15 years after I was cured of that to actually finish the trilogy. And then there's been a bunch of, I call them God winks, just crazy things that we don't probably have time to get into, but that have just kind of said, you know, there's more to this story. And I feel like I'm discovering it as I go. I'm not so much writing it. I'm just a reporter. And I just have that. That would be my one kind of thing that kind of gets into what you were asking last question, is just kind of a lot of that stuff's just coming to me. It's not me sitting down trying to figure it out. It's just I take a walk and it's like, whoa. So
interesting. What are some things that maybe came to you, or like a God wink?
Yeah. So one real quick, I'll try to cover it really fast. So while I was doing my third book forever in the first trilogy, The Chronicles of Trinian, I needed one landmass up in the corner that I needed to name, and I didn't know what to name it. So I said, I'll just take the first letter of each of the other landmasses that I had from 2005 and 2010 in the story that were on the map, and I just put them down, T-O-P-H-E-T. And I was like, that sounds good. That sounds kind of cool. And then Tophet. And then a couple days later, I looked it up, and real quick, it was a place where people would sacrifice their children to this demon called Molech over the fire. Yeah, it was a crazy thing. And then 2 days later, I looked it up and I said, you know, I asked Google, is this a place? And it came up with, yeah, it's a place in ancient Israel in the Valley of Hinnom where people would sacrifice their children into the fire for a demon. And I was like, every time I tell that story, the hair on the back of my neck stands up because I'm like, there's no way that I could have planned that 15 years earlier because I was making up all this stuff all along the way. And then 15 years later, I added a landmass, the ET, and then it came up with that name. And I'm like, that's beyond believable. So I don't know.
That's interesting.
So, yeah.
Yeah, no, I have interesting things that happen. One that's a little annoying is I've told a lot of jokes because I tell jokes all the time. That's just how I am. And sometimes, a lot of times I tell the joke to the person that it's about. Like, for example, I had a friend who I didn't know one of her children had multiple personality disorder. And I have nothing against anyone who has them. But really simply put, she writes on Instagram, you're never alone. So I comment jokingly, unless you have multiple personality disorder. Joking.
Yeah.
And I never saw this person ever again. She's almost like 50 years old. She goes, my son has multiple personality disorder. And this has happened so many times where I'll joke about infidelity or I'll joke about losing a finger. And their person will go, I lost a finger.
Yeah.
So, you know, sometimes maybe we're picking up on things and it's not coincidence, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. But it's kind of sad that people have that soft of a skin. Or, you know, I can see that initial reaction, but then to hang on to it and not.
Yeah.
Sad.
I wasn't making fun. And also, this is someone who told me, oh my God, I spit my coffee all over the computer. You know, this is so funny. So, like, you know, I'm joking all the time.
Yeah.
And it's not nasty. But I guess that's the risk when you type out anything, because we're in a world where people communicate through typing. And I'm sure I lost at least 5 friends at minimum or connections where I type something. And it was from a good place, but then it's received as like nasty or something. But you know.
Yeah. And I know in the Air Force, we would pride ourselves on always razzing ourselves constantly and on each other. So we were used to that. And I imagine maybe you got some of that there too, where you guys just have fun with each other and, you know, don't take everything so seriously.
So. Yeah. I never take anything too seriously. And that's a problem with some people. Now back to your book.
Sure.
So there's heroic deeds in the book. Now, are there any heroic deeds that you've witnessed in real life that you can share?
There's been a lot of them as far as flying goes, because I was, you know, the two jets, I don't know if you can see them up here in the corner, F-111, the F-15E. You know, we used to fly low and fast, 200 feet over the ground at night, you know, long missions over the mountains kind of thing, and then some combat time over Iraq. And, that, you know, I don't really want to get too specific on that stuff. There's a lot of guys in the past that have done a lot of heroic deeds and given up a lot. I mean, the service to your country kind of thing. If you don't give it all, you know, everybody gives something. And the biggest thing they sacrifice is time with their family and such. And one thing that just came to mind when you asked that was just way back in, you know, when I was just starting out in the F-111 in England, a guy lost his daughter to cancer. And I just can't help but think about the time that we spend doing other things when we could be spending them with our family. And I wonder how much he really regrets maybe not having more time that he had spent with her. So, I mean, a lot of people think of, the flying deeds and the things in combat and war and stuff that people have given up and the things that they've done as heroic deeds. But I think we just owe all of our service members, especially the ones that are overseas, they're spending a lot of time away from their families. I think that's probably a heroic deed in and of itself, just because of you only have so much time in your life. And when you give it up for other people instead of your family, maybe people understand, maybe they don't, but that's heroism in my mind. So,
yeah, no, I think about that almost every day. You know, I had 2 parents that went through cancer during the pandemic. They still have weird side effects. My dog is 13. So those are like 3 of my 3 main family members that, you know, it's like every week there's something scary. So when someone asks me to do something, and when I also ask other people to do something, I know I'm taking their time away from either family, if they have family, some people don't, you know, or anything they want to do. But yeah, for me, you know, when people ask me to do work on set, it's like,
I hope they realize, which I don't think they do, you're taking time away from family. Like, so even though there's a price for my work, a monetary price, there's also the price of these are days that I'm not having with my dad or my mom. So
well,
like,
I think you're way ahead of your time. I think you're way ahead of your time, Jenny, because, you know, time is our most precious asset, and people usually don't realize it till they get to be my age or older, but let alone your age. I mean, so it's great that you've got that, you already got that going on up here. So.
Oh, no, I think about every day. People are like, let's go on vacation. I'm like, I'm sorry, I'm not traveling. I might not even travel until my parents passed. Like, I know that sounds crazy, but, like, that's my priority.
No,
so
I lost my
I'll
mom a couple of years ago. I lost my mom a couple of years ago, and I think about it every day, you know, feeling bad for some of the things that the times I didn't spend with her what I should have. But, yeah.
Yeah. Well, that goes to the next question, kind of. Maybe it doesn't. So the books mention angels. Maybe your mom's one of your angels now. I don't know. What are your thoughts on angels?
So just touching on the books real quick. So it's sci-fi, fantasy, and spiritual warfare. So all of that stuff is throughout the book. So I definitely believe in angels. You know, whether you believe in the word or not, the word has plenty of references to angels and how angels watch over us, and we all have our own angel and all that. So that's a much deeper discussion, but absolutely angels are big time all around us. And just because we can't see things, that goes back to that other question where we're finding out stuff more and more, things that we can't see, but there are out there. So we shouldn't dismiss angels and demons and all that spiritual aspect of life just because we can't see them with our eyes. Cause our instruments can see a lot of things our eyes can't, and they can't see a lot of things that are out there. So
any angel stories you don't mind sharing?
Oh, angel stories. I mean, you know, that's interesting. I mean, my mom used to tell about, when she was a kid, and they'd look over this river or the stream in the back of their property, and they would see like bears dressed in checkerboard clothing, and only in the reflection they'd look up and they wouldn't see them. And so, and they all swore, all the kids were like 12 kids. They all swore they saw it. So, are those angels? No, I don't think those were angels, but I mean, what do angels look like? We know, or we think we know what angels would look like, because from our imagination and from comic books and things that people have done, but you know, that's like the devil with a pitchfork. Do you really think the devil's running around with a pitchfork? I don't think so. So they could be out there looking like a lot of different things, and things that people imagine, or these near death experiences. They come back. They have, you know, things that they've seen.
Yeah.
I mean, but no, I didn't have any specific angel experiences that I know of. Although there have been a number of times that I almost died in car accidents, kind of things, but by an inch, you'd kind of think. And, just being missed, and you go, was something there? Because the odds of that car missing me when I was backing up and it just grazing the bumper going 60 miles an hour, they were going, you know, what are the odds of that? So, yeah.
Right. You know, I have a lot of stories, but I'll make this real quick. I wasn't sure, and I went through I would say it's a near death, but you can call it whatever you want. Let's just say I couldn't sleep for 15 days, November 25th to December 9th. I was kind of pushed into taking this stupid IV drip thing that like celebrities and NFL players did. I didn't want to take it. My heart rate was flying November 25th, December 9th. I maybe slept 30 seconds to 2 minutes. So if you don't sleep for those many days, I think that's 14 days, you go a little crazy. I lost about 12 pounds. I started looking really, really sick. I went to the ER, an FBI agent called me, an ex-military doctor was giving me advice, said, you know, you could die. You got to go to the ER. The ER kind of laughed at me. They couldn't help me. Apparently I got influenza A, the flu, and it felt like I was overdosing for 14 days. So imagine you feel like you're overdosing. I know what that feels like. I've tried illegal drugs. I know what that feels like. I also had a fever. And really, to sum it up, I had a woman who owned the wellness center. She called me and said, you ever pray to God? So this was 2023. I've entertained the idea of God, but I'm someone, if I don't have 120 million percent proof, I'll say maybe. So I said, I don't know if I've ever said God, you know, I'm not sure. So long story short, I'm fighting for my life. My heart is flying out. I can't sleep. And I'm reading online that people don't sleep for a year. And so I'm thinking, this can't go on for another year. I'm going to die here. I'm going to lose another 10 pounds. I'm going to disappear. So I prayed to every single name ancestor I could come up with. And here's the weird part. My heart rate went down within 30 seconds. this fever broke immediately, maybe seconds. And the weirdest one, my windows were closed and I felt wind all around my head. It felt like birds were flying around my head. So that's a
Wow.
weird story. And I slept well and I fell asleep without setting my alarm. I usually set one or two alarms and I was fine. And I felt amazing the next day and I was perfectly healed within seconds. So
Wow.
I don't know.
So let
Whatever.
me just throw in there, in the back of these books, there's a bunch. I have a website, chroniclesofturnian.com, and on there I've got a blog. And for years I would write every day on there of different experiences I had in my life, you know, flying experiences, all kinds of amazing things. And so if you get a chance, you know, you can look, you know, you can get it on Kindle. You can get stuff for like, you know, these books for like $2. So it's not that big a deal. But all kinds of experiences, you know, a lot of experiences we're not going to be able to get to talk to about God and about all the things we're talking about here. So I really recommend that you or whoever's listening get a chance. If you get a chance, look at some of those because it really accents what's going on here in the books. You know, the books are one thing, they're largely fiction, but I interweaved a bunch of stuff from my life that isn't fiction. That's kind of amazing too. So if you get a chance.
Well, what do you hope that readers get from these books? Is there something that you want them to gain?
Yeah, so like I was kind of alluding to before, there's, you know, all of the greats in the genres of sci-fi and fantasy have really, you know, they're getting, you know, if you go on, you know, Amazon or Netflix or whatever, they're kind of dark and there's, you know, you can't let your kids watch them until they're, you know, teenagers or above and all this stuff. And so they really lack, there's a lot of Eastern mysticism and nihilism and a lot of, you know, hopelessness that's in there. And for my books, what I want people to come away with, and the main reason I wrote them is, so you come away with knowing that you do have purpose and that we are all unique and that someone is looking out for us out there. And and there are answers to all these questions. And it isn't bleak. It's very hopeful. It's very positive. And so that's the biggest thing is really be entertained by them. You know, each of the books are standalone by themselves. The trilogies are standalone by themselves. And then all together, they're just a massive, awesome story. That just keeps expanding your understanding of this whole universe that I've created. But just interweaved within there is just the hope, as opposed to the negative dark side of what can be fantasy or sci-fi. So.
Yeah, I'm always looking for what can go wrong so that I can prevent it or troubleshoot it. So I definitely am someone that needs to be reminded of hope, I would say, at least weekly, you know, because I'm always focused on protecting and looking out and being hyper vigilant, and you can get bogged down in worrying about stuff. So it's really good to have that reminder.
Yeah, I think if you read these, you'll come away with there are no coincidences. A lot of things are happening, and you don't have to be that fearful because you know things are going to work out. And I don't want to give too much away, but yeah. So God is in these books for sure. If I can share one more real quick thing.
Yeah.
So another one of the God winks kind of things is I would, you know, for the last couple of years, I have a kind of a sleep problem too. I can't sleep more than 2 to 3 hours a night, which
Oh, wow.
You know, I don't know how long that's going to last, but it's been going on for like 2 years. So I'm up at before 3 o'clock and I always take a picture of my clock at 3:16 and put John in front of it and post it on Facebook. I've done that for years, you know, because John's 3:16 is God loves us and sent his son to save us. But so then when I started doing these books, all these weird things started happening with 3:16s, you know, like the first one, they're self-published. So I had to dig up a piece of gold that I buried in my backyard so no one would get it from me. But when I went to turn it into these people, how much are you going to give me for this? And they're like, hey, every minute it changes. But right now it's $2,316. I'm like, 3:16. And then, you know, that was the first one. And then, you know, the first lady that reviews it, it's her review number 3:16. I'm like, what? And then my church, you know, it's delayed for like 2 years building a new church. It opens up on March 16th. And I'm like, what? And then all of these things, there's like, and I talk about them in the blogs, there's like dozens of them that are all 3:16s. And I'm like, so either, you know, someone's trying to tell me something to inspire me to write these, or, you know, keep your eyes open to all the amazing things that are happening in our world around us. And don't be so fearful because there's just wonderful things happening and just, you know, pay attention. So.
Right. Well, speaking of not being fearful, my last question is going to be about demons, but I'll just slip this in real quick. I have a 4-page sleep list, so I'm going to post at least one of these pages under the interview. I have more sleep tips than anyone I know. And one of the tips is eating rice. It's actually proven to help you fall asleep faster and stay asleep longer. Just rice.
That's
so
cool.
That's one. But the last question, because we got like 2 minutes left.
Sure.
Demons. What are your thoughts on demons?
Demons are real. Like I said, I'm a big believer in the word, and there's no question demons are real there. And all throughout these books over here, and I don't know if you're going to post a link or whatever, but the Chronicles of Trinian, they are filled with, you know, you got the angels. I got specific angels out there fighting for us. I got specific demons out there and what they do and what they're involved in and you know, trying to mess us up, fighting too. And that's all mixed in with all of the, you know, the AI and the aliens and the spaceships and the, all that sci-fi stuff, as well as, you know, all the fantasy things. So, yeah, demons are absolutely real, and I would never underestimate their power. So, yeah.
Very interesting. Yep. Yeah, I didn't really entertain any of this stuff until I saw some really weird things and heard some weird things, like 2021 to 2023. I'm like, oh, open my eyes a little bit more. If my eyes open anymore, I'm going to look like I have goiter. Now, final thoughts. Can you tell us where to find you and your final thought?
Sure. So go to the website, chroniclesoftrinian.com, all one word, .com. And like I said, it's, and you know, you got the first trilogy, The Faithful Stand Forever, the second one, The Promised Time Redeemed, and then the Chronicles of the Seven Wheels. And then look for the last volume, The Chronicles of the Wheelstones, that's coming out this spring. And I think you'll really enjoy them for a lot of reasons, whether you just like sci-fi fantasy or you're into the spiritual warfare thing with demons and angels. It's all there. So it's kind of the unified theory of everything. So I put it all in one big, massive book, about 5,000 pages. You can do a short one book, or you can do the whole thing and really be rolling. So thank you so much for your time today.
Audiobook available?
What's that? Audiobooks?
Audio?
Yeah, so I don't know if almost everybody has Amazon. So through Amazon Kindle, the audio is available. They're not on Audible yet, but they're on Kindle. Okay. And the Kindle reads pretty well now. So, and they're very cheap. Cool. You can get the whole series probably for under $30. So.
Very good, because I have all this to clean behind me. So reading, ever since I don't rent and I'm a homeowner, I need my hands, and I'm not a good reader anymore.
Oh, yeah.
I have to do stuff. But I'm always doing stuff, so I'm happy to listen.
Yeah, and you can hear them. You can hear them fast. I mean, you know, fast as you want to. So, yeah.
Well, thank you so much, Terry. Really loved having you on, and I'm gonna have to stalk you more, because that's what I do. I interview someone, maybe if I don't know them, and then I go, "Do I want to know more? Let's find that after the interview." And then I really, really stalk them. So, via stalker energy, that's me.
Feel free to reach out if you have any questions. So.
Awesome, beautiful. Thank you so much for being on. It came from the radio. Now back to the studio for more with Mark Torres.
If you had any honor, you would listen to sci-fi.radio, the sci-fi for your Wi-Fi. Kapla!
Now, back to our show.
So that about does it for this week on the Came From the Radio. Join us right here any week on this radio station. If you miss any part of this show,
tough,
go to our newly revised website, www.itcamefromradio.com. The archives will be up in a week or so. Check us out on such places as btd.radio, sci-fi.radio. Check us out on our places such as Facebook, Instagram, YouTube page, Twitter.
And always follow the cost-benefit ratio. If the benefits outweigh the costs, do it. If the costs outweigh the benefits, don't do it. Or
just Google It Came From the Radio.
And we'll see you next week.
You have been listening to It Came From the Radio with Mark Torres. The views of the show's hosts and guests did not necessarily reflect that of the management, owners, or staff of the station. We now return you to your earthly scheduled broadcast.